I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. Now, that's pretty simple. Except, that's not Christianity, is it? We get blessed if we obey, and we get cursed if we don't. This sounds like every other religion in the world. Well, that's what we're going to be taking a look at. And yes, we are live in the studio on this Memorial Day, Monday, May the 26th, 2008. I'm Tom Baker, your host for Law and Gospel on AM 850 KFUO, Inspirational Christian Radio. Yes, we are here, Charlie and I, and we're anxious to take any of your calls on the subject about blessing and cursing. We like coming in on a holiday because it means we might get some new listeners. Some of you folks I've visited, young woman over this past weekend, Michelle, thought she might be able to listen in today. Good to have you doing that if you're able to. And this is a good day also where you can call your friends and neighbors or relatives who aren't working today in order to listen to Law and Gospel, as we're going to take a look again at one of the passages in the Scripture that seem to contradict the Christian message. Now, that almost seems like a contradiction. A passage in the Scripture that contradicts the Scripture. How can that be? Well, there is no passage in the Scripture that contradicts any other passage in the Scripture. The problem is our interpretation and our application. We interpret it in a wrong way. And that's why it appears that it's contradicting passages such as Ephesians, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, lest any man should boast." Time and time again, we know in the Scripture that the Christian faith stands absolutely in contradiction to every other religion in the world, in which what you do makes a difference as to whether or not you get blessed. But here, Deuteronomy says it pretty clearly. "I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commandments, the curse if you do not obey the commandments." It seems like Christianity is just put into the same category as every other religion in the world that has a personal God with some kind of commandments. Namely, if you obey, you get blessed. If you disobey, you get cursed. Obey and disobey. Blessing and curse. But we know that's not what the Christian church teaches. So is it that we just ignore these passages? No. Scripture interprets Scripture. What does that mean? It means, first of all, you need to look at the context in which this passage is written. This, by the way, in some churches that will be celebrating the third Sunday after Pentecost on June the 1st, that this is the passage that you might be reading in the Old Testament. Well, maybe the Old Testament is law and the New Testament is gospel. No, the Old Testament contains both law and gospel, and the New Testament contains both law and gospel. Now, when we say the word law, what are we referring to? We're referring to, number one, when the rules from God are seen as commandments which you need to obey. Now, living under the law is a way of thinking that if you obey these, that's the way you get saved. And this verse could be one that might be used in that context, because it sure sounds like if you obey, you get blessed. If you disobey, you get cursed. This really is in contrast to, say, the epistle that some people may be looking at. What's the epistle? It's one of the writings, one of the letters from either John or Peter or James or Paul. And this one here is from Paul, Romans 3. Now listen to verse 21. "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed." So you want to get righteous in God's sight? Well, you don't do it by means of obeying the law. In fact, that righteousness of God that you need so badly is going to be revealed apart from any portion of the law. And this righteousness, now this is a very interesting verse because you have the same word twice in this verse with entirely different meanings. And let me tell you what the word is. It's the word law. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. It's kind of like the word gospel. It can mean the good news of Jesus Christ, which of course is covered by the entire Bible, or the word gospel also refers to the first four books of the New Testament, the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So there's an example where the word gospel has two different meanings. And how can you tell which is which? By looking at the context. The same with the word law. One law, in connection with the law and the prophets, is referring to the summary of the catalog of books of the Old Testament. Like in the New Testament, we say the Gospels and the Epistles. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then the rest of the writings, the letters. In the Old Testament, the law were the first five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and the writings were all the rest. So you have law and the prophets, that's all the rest. Sometimes they go law and the prophets and the writings, and therefore subdivide, like the Psalms would be different than the prophets. But at any rate, same word, law, spelled the same way in the Hebrew, and yet two entirely different meanings. But it's plain from the context why that's so. To summarize, Romans 3:21 says this, you want to get righteous in God's sight? Well, guess what? God revealed how it happens, but it happens entirely apart from any obedience to the law. And in fact, it was witnessed already. That is, it's testified to by the writings of the Old Testament. You don't have to have the New Testament in order to be saved. The New Testament talks about the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament, talks about the specific work of Jesus Christ. But many people in the Old Testament times did not have the New Testament writings, and they were saved because whatever God did provide them, and they believed, they were accounted righteous. Remember, Abraham believed and was accounted righteous in God's sight. Now, what is this new kind of righteousness that is apart from the law? Well, verse 22 of Romans 3 talks about it. Even the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. Well, the point that needs to be made here is there is a righteousness that God gives you. But it isn't on the basis of your works, it's on the basis of your faith. That is, works do not merit the righteousness. That's every other religion in the world. Faith doesn't merit it either. It just receives it. Faith receives the righteousness of Christ. What righteousness? Well, his works he did while he was here on earth. He was perfectly obedient to the law. And you aren't. So what happened? There was a glorious exchange, where God took all of your sin and gave you, for your sin, his righteous works that he had done while here on earth, his perfect obedience. And the short-term phrase for that, that the Bible talks about, is the robe of righteousness. And I'm sure we've all heard about that robe of righteousness. It's a robe that's given from God himself to us, and it's a robe that comes without any works on our part. That's very, very important. In fact, probably one of the best passages is Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. And the word garments there is a covering. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. So there you have the word, in case you're wondering if there's a Bible passage that talks about this robe of righteousness. And you're covered as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. So that robe of righteousness, you were given by God. And Isaiah explains how you got it, because he was whipped for your sakes. He was crucified. The punishment of all of your iniquities was laid upon him, and by his stripes you are healed. That's Isaiah 53. And even before then, at the time of David, we knew that it would be through crucifixion, even though that plan of execution had never even been invented yet at the time of David, when he wrote Psalm 119. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? And the answer, of course, well, within that psalm, what does it say? It talks about that I was pierced in hands and feet. Pierced in hands and feet. And that comes about how? That comes about by crucifixion. I think I mentioned Psalm 119, no, it's Psalm 22. Psalm 22, and if you want the pierced in hands and feet, it's verse 16. In fact, if you read Psalm 22, you will be amazed how much of the crucifixion is found there, even though it was written centuries before Jesus even became incarnate. So what we have in Romans is a very clear passage. There is a righteousness. You've got to get it. And it was even testified about in the Old Testament books, the Law and the Prophets. God came to Adam and Eve and the snake and said that the snake would be crushed, and in the process he would wound the heel of the Savior that would come from Eve. And, of course, that's talking about the crucifixion. So all the way back to the very first chapters of Genesis, Christianity comes through loud and clear that we are not going to be getting saved by works. But then we return. After reading Romans 3:28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. We read this in Deuteronomy 11. I got a blessing and a curse before you. And you'll be blessed if you obey the commandments. You'll be cursed if you do not obey the commandments. Now, we've said for years on AM 850 KFUO that simple obedience does not merit salvation, and disobedience is more than disobedience. But it seems here that it just seems a matter of obeying or disobeying. It puts you on the right side of God if you obey. It puts you on the wrong side of God if you disobey. And how about those many times when we've said there's nothing you can do to increase the blessings from God if you are a child of God? And here it says that if you obey, you'll get more blessings. You can understand, therefore, how the Bible seems to be so contradictory. So contradictory. But in reality, it is not. The Bible is not contradictory because the author of Romans is not Paul. The author of Deuteronomy is not Moses. The author of Matthew is not Matthew. No, those are the writers. Paul, Moses, and Matthew respectively wrote Romans, Deuteronomy, and Matthew. The author is God. He is the one who, through the Holy Spirit, breathed into these prophets and apostles to write down the thoughts of God without error. So, the number one rule when it comes to understanding the Scripture is not to ask your pastor. I mean, I don't have an objection to asking your pastor, but if you think that whatever his answer is correct, no, then that's the wrong reason to ask the pastor. Never trust your pastor. when it comes to biblical interpretation until what? You check it out. But you say, wait a minute, but I don't know the Greek. I don't know the Hebrew. How can I check out a professional? Well, it's really not that difficult. When Paul went around talking about Jesus Christ being the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies, he went to a town by the name of Berea. And the Berean Christians checked out the Old Testament to find out if what Paul was saying was correct or not. And so this is where the great principle comes about. You want to know what the Bible says? Who interprets it? Scripture interprets Scripture. And theologians believe, teach, and confess that any layperson is totally capable of being able to examine the Bible to see if what is being said from the pulpit is correct or not. It's not always that you need to know the original Hebrew or Greek. You just need to know the distinctions between law and gospel. So if I got up in the pulpit and I said, boy, you are really want to make sure that you get to heaven? Well, then put a little extra money in the offering plate today and I'll see to it. I'll have a special prayer. Now, that can't be found anywhere in the Bible. But we seem to have a problem here that you're going to get blessed if you obey, you're going to get cursed if you don't. So the first thing we need to do is look at the context and the immediate context, which is Deuteronomy chapter 11. It begins with verse 18. God is saying through Moses to his people, therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and your soul and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. In other words, the words I tell you are a high priority. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. And in a sense, we do that, do we not? When we sit in the house or even in a restaurant, we have a prayer to Jesus, thanking him for the food we're about to receive. When you lie down, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Who hasn't prayed that prayer? When you rise up, many people have a prayer in the morning, thanking God that they have come through the night and now asking him to be with them throughout the rest of the day. Now, that's all that's being spoken of here. God is front and center. It also says, you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. Now, already here, we start asking a little question. Oh, so if I just write these commandments or these guidelines or praise to the Lord on the doorposts of my house and on my gates, that we'll live a lot longer in the land? Well, you got to remember, there are people who are very faithful, and they die when they're 18, 20, 22 years old, very young, even younger. But what happened to the promise, therefore, that the days will be multiplied in the land which the Lord swore your fathers to give them? Well, we need to take a look at the whole picture here. If for this world only you have hope, you are of most men miserable. That's what the Apostle Paul says. The land which the Father has given to us is not just this earth, but is the land yet we're going to, the kingdom of God in heaven itself. So in a sense, one could almost argue that if someone dies early in life, God is keeping their promise to them better, in a sense, for them, that they don't have to go through many other things in this veil of tears. I just heard a report on the news about how difficult it is to sell houses these days and gasoline prices so high. Imagine in heaven, no such problems. That's the land we're looking forward to. Now, verse 22. By the way, in most lectionaries, that means the reading for this Sunday, these four verses I'm going to read are not there. I mean, they're there, but they're skipped over. It goes from 21 to 26. So let's read 22 to 25. If you carefully keep all these commandments which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all those nations from before you, and you will dispossess greater and mightier nation than yourselves. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even to the western sea, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand against you. The Lord God will put the dread of you and the fear of you upon all the land where you tread, just as he has said to you. Now, to some degree, that prophecy does come true while we're here on earth. There's no doubt, under David and Solomon, Israel became a mighty force in the Near East, conquered many lands, the whole area of Canaan, and many people would come. Remember the Queen of Sheba coming to see Solomon. But the full fulfillment of this, of course, doesn't come until the last day, when you and I will be transported to this land, the land of the kingdom of heaven. And who knows if there'll be a river there called Euphrates, but the whole area will be our territory. But on what grounds? Verse 22. If you carefully keep all these commandments which I command you to do. Now, what is the commandments? To love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to hold fast to him. Now, who of us do that perfectly? I don't think anybody does. Well, then, how can the promise come to us? Well, let me ask you this question. Is that a conditional or unconditional promise? In other words, will God drive away all the enemies from before you and allow you to possess this land conditionally or unconditionally? Well, it sounds like conditionally, if you carefully keep all the commandments. And what are the commandments? Summarized as loving the Lord your God, walking in all his ways, and holding fast to him. Now, is there a way that we can understand those phrases unconditionally? That is, we are achieving them, but it's not on the basis of our meeting any kind of condition. It almost seems impossible to think in those ways, doesn't it? So, what we want to say here is when we get back from the break, we'll get right into the idea and the understanding of this text in the context, and we're coming up to a verse that will clarify what God is really talking about here. Superficially, it sounds like obedience to his commandments is all you need to do. But as we move into the verse, you'll see that it's not just obedience. Stay with us through the break. If you'd like to call, 505-7850. Toll free on this Memorial Day, 1-800-730-2727. Stay with us through the break.
Here's a telephone number I'd like you to remember. It's 888-4-KFUO-AM. We have many numbers here. But if you need to call our station, remember 888-4-KFUO-AM. It's toll free, and you can use it to reach anybody here at AM 850-KFUO. That number again, 888-4-KFUO-AM.
The ALS Association, in concurrence with National ALS Awareness Month in May, is launching ALS Across America. The campaign shines a spotlight on men and women who, despite having or caring for someone with amyotrophic lateral sclerosis or Lou Gehrig's disease, helps others. More than 100 affiliates of the ALS Association are reaching out to educate the public about how to join the fight and make ALS a disease of the past. For information online, visit ALSA.org.
Hi, this is Dr. Bill Meyer for the James Dobson Family Minute. Our system of government and the way politics work can sometimes be lost in translation. My colleague Dr. James Dobson explains the fundamentals.
When you have a democracy that is intended to be of the people, by the people, and for the people, is a good thing. That is God's plan for a nation. I believe He inspired the founding fathers to develop this system where we're all allowed to influence the decisions of government. What a great idea.
Is it time for you to renew your commitment to being a good citizen? To know more about issues and those you choose to represent you? Be a student of the freedom you enjoy. To learn more about the intersection of faith, family, and politics, visit us at family.org. You'll be inspired by what you find. For Focus on the Family, I'm Dr. Bill Meyer.
Hi, this is Chuck Rathard, host of the Bible Study, inviting you to spend some time with us every weekday morning at 10:05 as we study the Scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, even sometimes the Catechism. The Bible Study is heard weekday mornings at 10:05. I hope you can join us and call in. The Bible Study on AM 850 KFUO.
The Bible Study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
Well, we certainly hope you have a blessed and a safe Memorial Holiday weekend. And then come back Tuesday morning for inspiration, information, and compelling Christian conversation on the morning show on AM 850 KFUO. We'll learn about a contemporary of William Wilberforce named John Newton in the book Once Blind by K. Marshall Strom, who will be our guest. We'll also talk with actress and singer Jennifer Lewis about bipolar mood disorder on the Tuesday morning show on AM 850 KFUO. You can listen live anywhere in the world there's a computer via the internet. Dennis in Indiana writes, just had DSL installed and am now able to listen via the internet to whatever I wish. I have chosen to listen to KFUO live streaming audio and praise God that the radio ministry is now available to me. Thank you for this wonderful Christian service. Thank you, Dennis. Listen live on the web at KFUO.org. Just click the Listen Live button.
Hi, this is Mark Hawkinson with an invitation for you to join me for Moments of Assurance, heard each weekday from 12:05 to 1 p.m. here on AM 850 KFUO. From quick trivia questions and answers to my thoughts on key scripture passages, a little bit of humor, and a lot of reflection on life God's way through faith in Jesus Christ. You'll have a neat recipe for assurance and spiritual strength as you tune in. So join me each weekday at 12:05 p.m. for Moments of Assurance.
Tom Baker back on Law and Gospel on this Memorial Day, on this Monday, May the 26th. Memorial Day, of course, we honor the members of the armed forces who have served this country so sacrificially. What we're doing on Law and Gospel is honoring Moses, Paul, and Matthew, the armed forces of God, the prophets and the apostles who have given us salvation, a revelation of it through this holy word. Now, the problem is, the word at times seems to contradict itself. We just saw a section in Deuteronomy which seems to contradict Romans chapter 3. Romans 3 verse 28 says, a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. And Deuteronomy 11 verse 28 says, you're going to be accursed if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. Doesn't that sound like a contradiction? Well, the first thing we did in the first part of the program is show that Christianity teaches we are saved by grace, through faith, apart from our works, lest any man should boast. So now let's take a look at Deuteronomy and try and figure out how do we understand this in the context of the rest of the Scripture. First thing we've been doing, latter part of the first half hour, is to examine the immediate context. And we're now at verse 26. Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. A blessing and a curse. So, what we need to know is, how do you get the blessing? And how do you get the curse? And what does it mean anyway when God says He sets before you this day? a blessing and a curse? Is it something that you're going to be able to make a decision about? No. In a sense, it's a verb, I set before you this day, just the idea of, here are two options. That's all it's really saying here, that these are two options that you're going to be dealing with. The one option is one in which you're going to be blessed. The other option is one in which you're going to be cursed. All righty. Now listen to 27. Doesn't help us much. 28 does a lot. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today. That's verse 27. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today. By the way, the actual verb is if you hear the commandments of the Lord your God. The King James translated as if you obey, as does the New King James. But, for instance, the New American Standard says if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I am commanding you today. If you hear them. Now, I think there's a big difference. There is a verb to obey. But that's not this verb. This verb in the Hebrew means to listen to hear. Now, sometimes we mean it as obey. For example, I say to my son, I want you home at 5 o'clock. Then he comes home at 6 o'clock. I said, did you not hear me? And he says, oh, yeah, Dad. My hearing's good. I heard what you said. Now, I don't mean the word hear there. Didn't you hear what I said? I'm saying, didn't you obey me? Why didn't you obey me? So in that context, to hear means to listen and agree with, to obey. So let's kind of keep that in mind, that it's not really to obey, but it means to hear. And I'll tell you why that's going to be important, because the next verse says, and if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. Now that's also listen, if you will not hear them. Now, in the context, will not listen to can mean that you're going to turn aside from them, that you will renounce them, that you will not obey them. So I'm not saying the translations are inappropriate, but I'm saying that I kind of like the word listen rather than obey, and I'll show you why in a moment. Verse 28, and the curse, if you do not listen or obey the commandments of the Lord your God. Now, listen to the last part of the verse. But turn aside from the way which I command you today. Now, what does that mean? See, this is a new understanding of what it means not to obey. It means to turn aside from the way which I command you today. Now, the word used for way can mean a road, a distance, a journey, a path, but it can mean the way. In fact, remember, what does Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but through me. Now, just kind of keep in mind that verse 28 has expanded as to what it means not to obey or not to listen to the commandments of the Lord. It means to turn aside from the way which I command you today. Now, listen to the next part. It gives a specific about what it means to turn aside, to go after, or to follow after other gods which you have not known. Now, This makes no sense at all. How can you follow after something that you don't know about? You see, if you take the word to know in that sense, that was like saying, you know, I told you to go on the bus, but you followed a way that you didn't know. And he looks at you and said, what do you mean I followed a way I didn't know? See, once you follow the way, you must know it. But see, here the word known is used in a more spiritual sense. For instance, it's one thing somebody to say, by the way, do you know vanilla ice cream? Now, that can be taken in one of two ways. Number one, have you ever heard of it? Oh, yeah, I've heard of it. Never had it, but I've heard of it. Or, do you know vanilla ice cream means you have an acquaintance with it? You've had some. Oh, yes, I know it, and it tastes good. I like vanilla ice cream, especially with some chocolate and peanuts on it and butterscotch and all kinds of stuff. The Virgin Mary was conceived when she had not yet known a man. Now, obviously, she was old enough to have a baby. What do you mean? She didn't know men? But the word know there has a sexual connotation in that context. And that had not yet happened. So how could she conceive and bear a child? And, of course, the angel told her, well, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. In a similar way, to follow after other gods which you have not known means that you don't have any acquaintance with these gods. In fact, they don't even exist. They're idols. They don't know you. You really don't know them. And yet you still follow after them. Good example. Moses takes a long time coming down from Mount Sinai. So what do the people do? Do they worship one of the finest looking cows or bulls around? No. They actually create one. They make one out of their jewelry. And after it's all fashioned, and it probably looked really nice, they bow down before it. Talk about the foolishness of idolatry. To bow down before something you've made. Now, Christians have that problem sometimes. Do you have a good luck charm? Not necessarily a rabbit's foot, but maybe even a cross. And you won't go anywhere without that cross. Particularly, you won't go flying a plane. You got to have that cross. You see, you have now made it your idol. It protects you. Some people think that way of the Lord's Supper. I once had a situation where a person said, I'm going to go flying. I have to have the Lord's Supper or I won't be able to get on that plane. And upon further reflection, they were actually concerned that if they did not have the Lord's Supper, there was a good chance it would crash. So we spoke long and hard on that with this individual, making the point that even if you have the Lord's Supper, that's no guarantee you won't crash. I don't know the future. There's no promise in the Bible. There's only one way I can tell you that you will not crash in a plane. Don't get near one. Doesn't mean it won't crash into you. God can do anything. Deuteronomy 11:28 helps us to understand Romans 3:28 to a much greater degree. And in fact, it fits right in with the gospel reading of Matthew 7:28. When Jesus was finished talking, the people were astonished at his teaching. Why? Because he was saying things with authority, not as the scribes. So verse 28 in Deuteronomy, Romans, and Matthew, the three readings that some churches will be using this Sunday, coming up, June 1st. All of them kind of tie together. Because when we talk about obeying or listening to the commandments, we are talking about it in a way that is not consistent with what every other religion teaches. When every other religion teaches about obeying the commandments, they mean obeying the commandments. That is, you better not do any sin. But in the context of Deuteronomy 11:28, God shows what you would be doing if you do not obey the commandments. Number one, you turn aside from the way, you go after other gods. Now, Romans 3 shows very clearly in the early parts of Romans that salvation by works is utterly impossible. And Romans chapter 7 leads anybody who realizes the big struggle between the old man and the new man, leads us to say, as 24 says, verse 24 of Romans 7, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Because I deserve death. The things I want to do, I can't do. The things I'm trying to stay away from, I'm always doing. Verse 8 says that the reason there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ is not because you are now perfectly obeying the will of God. No. What has happened is that you are now walking in the Spirit. Now, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It means, number one, that you no longer are following the way of the law as a way of salvation. You're following the way of Christ. You have turned away from what? Turned away from following sin. Now, it's not that you don't keep on sinning. But what's the new way the Christian is? It's not one of perfect obedience. It's one of repentance. Repentance, yes. What is repentance? Repentance is the response of the believer in Christ to God for having been totally saved while we still remain a sinner. This is impossible in any other religion. Because the mark and evidence that one is totally saved is that he's no longer sinning. But you see, in the process of salvation, which has now happened to believers here on earth, there has not been given a gift to stop from sinning entirely. The old Adam is still part of us. So each and every day, as we wallow in our sin, we have a choice. We can follow the way of the law and try to improve ourselves to get right with God, or we can follow the way of Christ and rush to His cross for salvation, for forgiveness, for the robe of righteousness. We are not, therefore, going after other gods who we do not know. We're going after the only God we know, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We sin, but we do not turn aside from the way of Christ. Now, let me explain that a little bit, because that seems like we are, that every time we sin. Well, you see, it's not the sin that God is looking at. It is our attitude towards the sin that God is interested in. If you have an attitude toward your sin that is haughty and proud, and there's no way you're going to be sorry for what you've done, then you are following the broad road of path to destruction. And that broad road of the path to destruction is right into Satan's kingdom. Whereas when we do sin, contrition comes over us, sorrow, as we recognize that we have sinned, and true repentance. And what is repentance in the Bible? It's contrition plus faith in Jesus Christ. There are a lot of people who are sorry that they sinned, but by and large, it's because of the consequences. Boy, if I hadn't done that. I was watching a recent NCIS little movie there. Comes on every week. And some kids had a little BB gun, and they're going around pulling pranks. And there was this fella kind of sitting in an inner tube in his swimming pool, just kind of falling asleep, it looked like. And so they shot a BB gun into the inner tube, and, of course, the air went out. and it started sinking. Well, the fella didn't wake up. He just kept sinking. He was already dead. And I, you can just see the look on the face of the young man who pulled the rifle, the BB gun, thinking he had maybe shot and killed the man because he wasn't, of course, coming up from the water. Now, there's nothing you can do to reverse that. Now, in this particular case, it wasn't the BB gun that killed him. He was already dead. And the story went on to show how it was really murder. It wasn't a heart attack or a stroke or anything like the original coroner said. But how many times have we been in a situation where we do something wrong? Do we enjoy doing it? Well, obviously, or we wouldn't have done it. But when it's over and we look back on it, is there contrition in our heart, or are we looking forward to doing it again? Now, just because you repent of what you did doesn't mean you're not going to be able to stop from doing it again. No, that may not be the case. But you see, God is looking at which way you're on, and He doesn't judge the road you are on. Remember, Jesus says there's a broad road and a narrow road. He's not judging that just by your works, but by your attitude. So if you're on the broad road and, well, let's read the passage, Matthew 7:13. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. So you got the narrow gate, and remember Jesus says, I am the door to the sheepfold. And to get by Him, to go through Him, is to enter into the heavenly kingdom. And who is in the heavenly kingdom? Here on earth, sinners. There's nobody who's not a sinner. So how do we get blessed? I ask the question, is our obedience and the blessings, is it conditional or unconditional? You would think it's conditional because it says if you obey. The problem is no human being, since the fall of Adam and Eve into sin, is able to be on the right way, is able to obey. And the obedience isn't a stopping and cessation from sin as much as it is repentance. That's how you put your sin to death, through repentance. And that is the way of life. It's a narrow road. It's not found in any other religion of the world, because in every other religion you have to work your way to righteousness. But in Christianity there is no work needed. Jesus does all the work for you. He saves you. He brings you into a right relationship with Him. So, if you're on the right way, you're obeying the will of God, obeying the commandments of the Lord your God. How so? Well, there's three ways in which you're obeying the commandments of the Lord your God while you're still a sinner. Number one, you're repenting of your sin. That's contrition plus faith. Number two, God looks at that and forgives that sin. So there is no penalty that you have to pay for the sin. Number three, how about all those good works you fail to do? God dresses you in His robe of righteousness. Now, what conditions did you meet to get the forgiveness of sins and the robe of righteousness? Answer, none. They were free gifts to you. You receive them by faith, and faith itself is a free gift. It's not something you can earn. It's not something you can do. It's not something you can choose. It's not something you can entreat. It's not, and the list goes on and on. It is freely given to you through word and sacrament. You hear about the word of God, or as an infant you're baptized, and God recognizes you as having true faith. That's it. And that true faith receives all the benefits of being on the way. Let's put it this way. Children of their parents, they get blessed if they obey. They get cursed if they disobey. Now, what do we mean by that? It means that even when they go against their parents' will and the parents give them punishment, they follow through on that punishment. They take the punishment, and thereby the punishment itself is a blessing for them because it helps them to go in the way that they should go. Are they still being blessed by their parents during the course of that punishment? Answer is yes. They still get fed. They get clothed. They be taken to school. Now, they may not be able to look at television for 2 weeks in a row because whatever they did wrong. But following in the way of the parents, which means taking your punishment, taking your discipline would be a better word, then you are blessed. And you're not going after other parents, which you have not known. And not turning aside from the way in which they've instructed you in order to be disciplined. This is not just a parsing of words, because what God is looking for is not perfect obedience. You can't do it. He's looking for faith that clings to Jesus as the only way, the truth, and the life. And when you cling to Jesus, God regards you as obeying His commandments. Because you're forgiven your sins, you're wearing the robe of righteousness, that's how God looks at you. Through the garment of Christ. Through the forgiveness of sins. Through whatever else we've got going here. I'm Tom Baker. That's how Deuteronomy 11:28 is not a contradiction of Romans 3:28. And fits in right with Matthew 7:28, and the people were astonished at his teaching. When we get back from the break, as is our task on Mondays, we'll be taking a look at a hymn. Don't just sing it, read it. The title is To God, the Holy Spirit, Let Us Pray. That's the title of the hymn that we'll be looking at when we get back from the break. I could entertain some questions, especially if you have some new listeners on Memorial Day. The number's to phone. This is a call-in program if you're interested in talking about this subject. 505-7850. Toll free is 1-800-730-2727. I'm Tom Baker. When we get back from the break, to God the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Please stay with us.
Listen to Law and Gospel with Tom Baker, Monday through Friday at 1:05 p.m. on AM 850 KFUO. You can write Pastor Tom at AM 850 KFUO, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or at this email address, lawgospel@lawgospel.com.